Luke chapter 11. And then once again, we're going to take a break from the book of Luke after today, and we're going to talk about being thankful, counting our blessings and things like that for the next 2 weeks. Did you know it's Thanksgiving? Well, then let me tell you, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. Are you blessed? Please do not forget where your blessings come from. Every good gift comes from above. Let's stand and let's look. This morning, we're going to talk about the lamp. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to worship you, to sing together to the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All right. Do you see okay? Can you see okay? Boy, y'all are just not into it this morning, are you? All right. Can you see okay? Yes. Okay. Good. Good. I want to ask you to do something for me. Everyone in the building, upstairs and downstairs. Now, upstairs, I'm leaving you kind of on your own, be honest, okay? Because I can't see your eyes from here. I can see your face and your body, but I can't see your eyes from here. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes. Now, down here, I can see your eyes are open or not, okay? I want to ask everyone to close their eyes, okay? Close your eyes. Do not open your eyes. I'm going to give you a test. All right? Keep your eyes closed. Do not open your eyes. Question. How many exit signs are on your level? Oh, some of you opened your eyes. No. Keep your eyes closed. How many exit signs are on your level? Question number two. Where's the fire extinguisher located? You say, Brother Doug, these questions aren't important. They are if there's a fire. Okay? Keep your eyes closed. What is on top of the pole that holds the American flag here up on the stage area? What is on top of that pole that holds the American flag? Then finally, how many choir mics are hanging down in the choir area? You got your answers? All right, everybody open your eyes. Now everybody's looking around. There are 8 exit signs on this level. There are 3 on the top level. How many of you got it right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh my goodness, y'all are not very observant, are you? All right. The fire extinguisher is located near the main entrance there as you come in. How many got that right? Oh, there's more that know where the fire extinguisher are. Good. Good. You see what's on top of the American flagpole, right? How many got that one right? Hey, all right. Good. There are 4 choir mics hanging up. There's 4. I said in the stage area. Four. I see. Clearly. This is just kind of like the teacher in school. It didn't like the question. All right. It's kind of fun to do something like that. But do you just stop and think? I mean, really, to notice what's going on around you? I know, exit signs are no big deal. Choir mics, not a big deal. Yeah. But do you really stop and look at what's going on around you? To absorb, I mean, you have this one life. If you don't absorb this one life, you miss. Even more specifically than that, do you stop and look for God around you? Or is God just something you do on the weekend when we come to church on Sunday, we praise God and worship, then we go out and we forget about Him till next week? Do you realize God is here and He's in your life? It doesn't matter if it's Sunday or Friday. Do you practice the presence of God? In today's study, we're going to study about a people who were not looking, and many of them missed the Messiah who was standing right in front of them because they were not looking. Oh, they gave Jesus this demand. There in the verses just prior to this, they told Jesus, or they were, Jesus told them He knew they were seeking a sign. As a matter of fact, in verse 29, He said, and while the crowds were thickly gathered together, He began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given. This is an evil generation. You want this big supernatural event so that you can say, there's no doubt, there's no explanation. This has to be the Messiah." But the problem with this big supernatural miracle thing is things like that fade. People forget. Give you an example. How many of you like baseball? Who won the 1963 World Series? Now, Brother Doug, that's a long time ago. It was a big deal when it happened. Nobody remembers. Well, let me impress you. It was the New York Yankees and the San Francisco... The Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles won. Swept the series, 4 games. How did I know? Because I looked it up on the internet. But you have these big events. You forget these big events. What I'm talking about is just noticing and realizing the Jesus that's around you every day. Do you do that? Do you do that? See, in the text that we read, Jesus was in plain sight. Verse 33, as a matter of fact, I want to read that with you again. Verse 33. "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come may see the light." Now, the one that he's talking about here, he's not speaking about people and you and me and saying, "Y'all let your light shine." That's not who he's talking about. You know, he's talking about verse 33. He's talking about God. And what God had done. You see, verses 29 through 32, the demand was a sign. And Jesus said, "I'm not going to give you a sign." The reason is because Jesus at this point has already cast out demons. He's raised the dead. He's healed the sick. Yet they don't get it. Yet they don't see it. It's not going to do Jesus any good to give them a sign. But Jesus says, "I'll tell you what God has done." He said, "No one, when he lights a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket." Jesus had been sent by God the Father. He had a public ministry for all to see. And you just pretty much had to be blind or have your eyes closed to realize that Jesus was not, or that Jesus was not the Son of God. But people couldn't see that. Jesus' point is the light is among you. Verse 31, he said, the queen of the south came up to see the wisdom of Solomon. Yet a greater one than Solomon is before you, and you don't get it. He said in the preaching of Jonah, people repented at the preaching of Jonah. But they will sit in judgment of you because the one greater than Jonah is here and you don't see it. Look, see it. God had sent His only Son to be the light of the world, to be that light that shines in darkness, and they don't get it. I just wonder, have you looked for God today? A lot of opinions in the world today about who Jesus is, and you know, do you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the only avenue to God the Father? Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the only avenue of salvation? Have you taken care of salvation? If not, you're missing it. You're missing it. It's plain. It's evident. It has been preached and preached time and time again. When are you going to open your eyes? The questions that I had asked earlier. When you opened your eyes, wasn't it easy to find the answers? That's Jesus' point to these people. He had been sent. It was plain who He was. Jesus' point is open your eyes. But it's not only lost people that don't open their eyes. It's saved people that don't open their eyes also. Do you realize what God has done for you? Do you practice the presence of God on a daily basis? When you get up and go to work, do you realize that God has given you that job? When you go home to your family, do you realize that God has given you that family? When you turn on the lights, do you realize it's God that has enabled you to pay the electric bill so you can turn on the lights? My first challenge today is look around. See the hand of God. Most importantly, if you are a child of God, do you realize what God has done for you by sending His Son to die in your place, to suffer in your place, so that you could have salvation. I preached on Wednesday night, and I made the statement, sometimes all you have is Jesus Christ, but in those times, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Do you practice His presence? Do you see His leading on a daily basis? These people didn't have a clue. And so God, we're reading, Jesus is saying, open your eyes, examine your eyes. Verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. And when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Isn't it great to see? I mean, our lives are built around what we see. And if we see well, life is that much more rich. I am looking at this. That word good means healthy or focused. Now, if you're young, this may not mean as much to you. But when you get to that point where you've got to have glasses, seeing is very important. You know what I do on occasion? I forget. Well, not on occasion, on a regular basis. I forget to clean my glasses. Does anybody else do that? Beth looks at me sometimes and she said, you need to clean your glasses. Because she can see that they're dirty before I realize that they're dirty, you know? But the wonderful thing about it is when I take those glasses off and I clean them and I put them back on, I'm like, wow, I can see. This is fantastic. I can see the details. I can read the words on the page. When my eyes are good. But when my eyes are bad, when my glasses are dirty, I get used to dull vision. It occurs so gradually that you don't realize you can't see. In verse 30, the last part of verse 34, Jesus, after saying, if your eye is good, your eye is healthy or focused or clear, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. That word bad means sickly or diseased. In our language, if your eye is sick, you will not be able to see. Your vision will be distorted. So Jesus in verse 35 says, check your eyes. Verse 35, therefore take heed that if the light which is in you, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Have an eye exam. Check your eyes. Pay attention. I want to ask you, do you really definitively see Jesus active in your life? Do you definitively know the direction? And I'm not talking about every detail, and God may be leading some of you into a ministry that you haven't quite, figured out yet. I'm not talking about that. But can you see the hand of God on a regular basis? You say, Brother Doug, not really. Do you realize God's not just supposed to work in a worship service? Oftentimes in a worship service, people respond to the invitation and some are saved, some join the church. And we think, man, what a great day. It's we saw the hand of God move. Do you realize God moves every day? Can you identify it? Can you see where He's going? Can you see where He's leading? Well, Brother Doug, not really. Do you know why? Often it's because our eyes are diseased. Our glasses are dirty. And this is what happens. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and get this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What happens? We let our eyes get turned. Turn to the things like, for example, the lust of the flesh. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the passions of life. The lust, the passions of life. Why do you get up in the morning? What's your drive? What is your desire? What do you want more than anything in this world? Now we're getting real personal. Answer the question to yourself. What do you want more than anything in this world? What does it have to do with Jesus? The lust of the eyes. He speaks of the drive that's caused by what you see. Do you ever look at people and think, boy, I wish I had what they had? They've got a new car. They've got some neat toy that we like. For me, I may look at motorcycles. Boy, I wish I had that motorcycle. Because you see it, it's attractive. And boy, I wish I had that. What do you see in the Lord's work that you want? Do you ever look at the Lord's work? Boy, I would like to experience that. I would like to be that. Do you look at your teacher and say, boy, I'd like to be a teacher like you? Do you look at the singer? Oh, did they do a good job a while ago with the song? You look at it. Boy, I'd like to be able to praise the Lord like you. We have all these lusts and these desires and these passions. What do they have to do with God? If they have nothing to do with God, guess what? Your vision's distorted. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know what the pride of life is? That speaks of your regard for your possessions. What is the most important thing that you own or that you have or that you enjoy that you're the proudest of? That thing when somebody comes over and you say, let me show you this. Do you ever say, let me show you what Jesus has done for me? Let me share with you the gospel message of Jesus Christ that changed my life. You see, anything, our vision's distorted, our glasses are dirty, we don't see the really important things of this life. Check your eyes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He either hate the one or love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I realize mammon there, he's talking about money. But do you realize there's only room for one focal point in your life? And that's Jesus Christ. Time and time in the Scripture we hear the words repeated, God is a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. Listen. God is number one. And when life becomes anything less than making God first and foremost of your life, your vision is blurred and distorted. Examine your eyes. God has made things clear. Jesus, the Son of God, His Word that you need on a daily basis. Verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. As when the bright shining of a lamp gives you the light. You ever heard the saying, when the light comes on? That's what he's saying. Have that eye checkup, clean your glasses, refocus your life. The light will come on. You'll get it. You'll get those things that are really important, like bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The light comes on that you realize, yes, it's really good for them to get an education. Yes, it's really good for them to be clothed and fed. But the necessity of their life is Jesus Christ. The light comes on. The light comes on that the most important thing that you have to do in this life is to bring honor and glory to the great God that you serve. Do you want to see clearly? Here's what you've got to do. Are you ready? You got to deal with the shadows. You ever been in a room that wasn't very well lit and it didn't matter how hard you look, you just couldn't quite get there? You got to deal with the shadows. And what I'm talking about is dealing with your life where there is no part of your life that is off limits to God. Have you noticed that in our country there seems to be a serious decay of standards? There seems to be a serious moral decay. Every kind of sexual perversion, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, you go on and on in the list, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. Am I the only one that noticed that, or have you noticed that? Have you noticed that there's been a real character decay? Honesty doesn't any longer seem to be the best policy. And it's even in our churches. People in church who once stood for the truth doesn't seem to be that important anymore. What's happening? What's going on? It's because of the shadows. You see, there are areas of life that we Christians very often want to keep from God. We want to hold those areas, you know. Yes, I'll go to church, Lord, and I'll serve you, but I've got this little extramarital affair on the side that, you know, I'm going to hang on to that. My friends, that's called adultery, and it is wrong. Yes, I call myself a Christian, but You know, out in the business world, I've got to be like everybody else. And the bottom line is the dollar. And I'll beg, borrow, and steal and do whatever I have to do to make my fortune. Ah, the shadows again. Our youth. Yes, I want to bear the name Christian, and I'll go to church because mom and dad make me. But, you know, what I really want is to be in the popular crowd. And the only way I can be in the popular crowd is to go to the parties that they go to and do the things that they do. So, Lord, other than that, I'm all for you. You're not dealing with the shadows. And until you deal with the shadows, you'll never see clearly. The thing about shadows is that they just get darker and darker. You ever noticed at sunset when it just gradually gets darker and darker and the sun goes down a little farther and a little farther and first thing you know you can't see because the light is gone? That's where the shadows lead. As you keep those shadows refusing to surrender to God, the lines become more and more blurred. Soon there are no limits. And then the view, which is very close to the view that seems to be accepted in our society today, I don't see anything wrong with it. Every person has the right to choose as they see fit. Beloved, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death, according to the Word of God. See, you got to deal with the shadows. You got to be willing to take an honest eye examination. You know what I've come to figure out? When I take an eye examination, I do ever so often. Well, I have to. I can't cheat on an eye exam. Have you noticed that? I can't cheat. Miss Malia will say, "Can you read this line?" And I'll look and either I can read it or I can't, but I can't make it up. She'll be like, you know, I'd be like, XRZQM. Yeah, right. Listen, when you take an honest look at the shadows in your life, you can't lie to God. He knows. He knows what you've declared off limits. He knows the shadows. He knows where you're holding back. Sad thing about it, and the next scripture, Jesus goes into the woes of the Pharisees. Verse 39. "Now you Pharisees, you make outside make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but the inward part is full of greed and wickedness." Do you know why they did that? Because they wouldn't see. They wouldn't take care of the shadows. They wouldn't submit and surrender to the Lord their God. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you tithe and mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice the love of God. These you ought to have done and without leaving the others undone." They had declared certain things off limits. Oh, they would tithe. They would tithe down to the very herbs in their cabinet. But things like faith and love and righteousness were in the shadows. Bottom line. Has your vision? When's the last time you had an eye exam? An honest eye exam. That's my challenge to you today. Take a look. What have you withheld from God? What have you refused to see in your life that have plagued you for years and years? Lost person, how long are you going to walk in darkness, bound for hell? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Do you not see that death is coming? Do you not see that Jesus Christ has done everything He can do for you? He paid for your sin. And He said, "Who?" He said, "Come unto Me." The invitation is to you. And you'll receive the forgiveness and you'll take His righteousness and be acceptable before God. Oh, but Brother Doug, not right now. Oh, listen, open your eyes. You're not guaranteed the next minute, let alone next week. Today, will you open your eyes and say, Lord, show me the things in my life that don't belong to there. Will you open your eyes and say, Lord, lead me wherever you want me to go. Will you open your eyes and see the glory of the wonderful God who loves you? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that Lord, you've made plain who Jesus is. You've made plain your word and your will. So, Lord, now as we come to this invitation, I just pray that you'd lay it upon all of our hearts to honestly submit to you. Lord, expose those shadows and give us a willing heart to respond. In Jesus' name I pray.